opening of the State of the Church address. You know, in the past we'd play Hail the Chief and come marching up. Yeah. But you have a more casual launch here this time. All right. Well, welcome everybody to the State of the Church address. If we could get that PowerPoint slide up, that'd be fantastic. Okay. So, guys, it's 2020. Woo. What's the deal? I mean, wow, 2020, it just seems like that's so like out there, futuristic, an impossibility, but here it is. It's 2020, and you're living it. Check the pulse. You're in it. You're in it right now. And so, whenever we're facing the advent of a new year, you do need to pause for a moment and look back and reflect on the past year, lest you lose some of the lessons that God was trying to teach you, or you forget some of the blessings that God was trying to give you, and we just aren't mindful of it because we don't look back and review and summarize 2019. How would you, if you were put on the spot here, and you had to summarize 2019 in your life, how would that go? Was it a year of growth for you? Did you feel like you grew, you matured, you developed as a person? Did you make some big changes? Some big changes happened to your life. Things were different for me. Big changes? Or did you feel like things got worse? Thank you, brother. Did you feel like things got worse for you? It was a hard year. It was a bad year. Maybe even in your walk with Christ, you backslid a bit. That 2019? Or was it just another year? Nothing remarkable. You can't remember anything that happened in 2019. You know, it's like, no, it was there. I just don't remember a thing. Some years are like that. You just don't remember. Well, believe it or not, here's the crazy thing. Regardless of your impression of 2019, believe it or not, God had a plan for your life in 2019. God had a plan for you. And, believe it or not, just because something is God's will or God's plan does not mean it's automatically going to happen. You know, nothing can thwart the will of God. Well, guess what? God will intentionally hold himself back in deference to your will. I know sometimes I wish that God would just force himself on me, you know? God, just make me do this. But then, you know, at a more saner moment, I kind of enjoy my free will, you know? It's like, that's what I love about people. It's like, well, if God's all good and all powerful, then why is there evil and suffering in the world? Like the evil and suffering that you create for your own life, to your own self or to others? You want God to get in there and say, can't do that. And most of the evil and suffering that happens in the world is created by people. The other is the earthquake, which I'm amazed by that. But guys, God is a gentleman. He doesn't force himself on you or on me as much as we might think we would like him to. We need to choose it. That's where I'm getting with this opening comment. Whatever God's will and God's plan was for 2019, you need to humble yourself and choose to walk in God's will. A verse that comes to mind in that regard is 1 John 1:7. It says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin, all of our guilty stains. Okay? Guys, this is called a conditional promise. It's conditioned on the fact that we choose to walk in the light. It says, if we walk in the light, then you're going to experience all the good stuff that you read about in the Bible, all that awesome fellowship, love, joy, peace, you know, if you walk in the light. We have to choose to walk in the light before we experience biblical fellowship with each other and with Christ. Relational conflict, guys, is oftentimes the biggest headache of a person's life. Last year, think of 2019, you think about the personal conflicts you had, the relationships lost, relationships strained, you know, relationships gone awry. You think about that and you think, wow, that oftentimes is the biggest pain in my life. And guess what? 2020 will be no exception. I hate to be the bearer of bad news. If you choose to not walk in the light. If you do choose to walk in the light, well, then it's a whole new story. Then you're choosing to walk in God's will and God's plan for your life. And so that's just a little opening nugget I wanted to give you. Bob has his own. I'm about to turn it over to him. But mine is, guys, you're at the advent of 2020. You've got two paths that you can choose. Your own path, a path of usually foolishness is your own path. Your own path of foolishness, or you can take the path of wisdom, the path of walking in the light. You're at that fork in the road. You got one life. How about choosing to walk in the light this year? I certainly.
I like this, the emphasis on choice. You know, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and on our script here, I want to share with you a concept concerning these choices. And wouldn't you know it, it's in Romans, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but fortunately, we're going to be starting a series in Romans next week. I'm so looking forward to this. Really, really powerful book, and probably the most powerful, or possibly the most powerful chapters in the whole New Testament, chapters 5 through 8, that could be debated. But in chapter 5, we begin to see how, just as we're talking about how sinful we are, well, that, according to Romans 5, it came from Adam. The first Adam rebelled, and we are still in rebellion with him. There's something in us that's part Adam, and we still rebel. It's at least there. The point, though, of Romans 5 through 8 is that Jesus Christ has accomplished something else on our behalf. The first Adam did. If the first Adam accomplished something for us, surely God could accomplish something much greater. And what God accomplished was the end of sin. The end of it. The wages of sin is death. He did it. He died for you and for me. It's done. That chapter is over, and now we can choose to be alive to God. Right now, Jesus is watching it. I think he's clapping. I think he's enjoying our time. We're speaking the truth in his name. I think he's enjoying this. You are alive to God. That's the point. You didn't, in one sense, you didn't have anything to say about it other than to receive him, as several of us did here this year. Once you received him, you found out he already accomplished the death to your sin. And you are now alive from the dead. And so the next verse says, even so, consider it to be that way. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God. How can you consider yourself to be dead to sin? Because he already did it. He took it out of your hands. You don't get to finish it. He did it. He finished it. That's a major theme in Romans 5 through 8, and something that we must believe and put into practice. But we must choose to think that way, choose to believe. He finished that course for us. How could we not? He died, and he rose. The reason he died was to forgive our sins. It must have worked, because he rose again. Even so, make the choice. That's who we are. This is our identity. We are alive from the dead.
That's great. Okay, so with that, we wanted to move into covering the three stages of our State of the Church address. And the first one is where we have been. And so I'm going to go through the top 10 things that I believe God did in our church. It's somewhat chronological, not by importance or anything, but, you know, these are the top 10 things. Are you ready for the top 10 things that God did in Lifehouse Church last year? Number one, we quietly launched an experimental church plant in Cresco, calling it Teen Territory. And we called it Teen Territory because really the only people that came were teenagers. And then myself. And that was about it. And that's still primarily the case, though it is changing a bit because Bob's coming now, Jay's coming now, a few others have come. And so it's starting to change, and we feel like maybe God wants to continue to move in that direction. But that's for a later topic. But really, we launched this church plant. Did the pictures come up?
Yeah. We've been looking.
It's coming up slow. Yeah, the pictures are big. And so now that you know that, yeah. And so, yeah, this is primarily, we took a picture after every service. We'll all gather in the corner next to our teaching topic notes, and we'll take a picture. And so those are the ones that show up, and it's fantastic. It's a great time. And again, you guys all know about it. Definitely leak it to your friends who are in the Cresco area. But that's the first thing. That actually happened. We started it, officially launched it in January of last year.
And then we had a Super Bowl party and very well attended again. It was fun. I really enjoy watching football, partly because I never get to watch it. I just really like it, but I cannot tell you even who played. I liked it. What I do remember is at halftime, we turned the TV off, and we had live performance. Luke was playing and some of his own songs, and it's just such a difference. We know if we had left the TV on, there would have been very worldly ads and very worldly halftime. Instead, we got to hear thoughts of the redeemed. Sadly, several people got up and left the room. That's the way it is. We have to win. We have to win our folks. We'll just keep at it.
Yep. It was a live halftime performance was what that was. Thank you. It was good. Okay, number three. Our church's biggest outreach by far is not the float as much as we might think it is. It's the game store. Games XP, and it happened to move in February. Yeah, February, the coldest month of the year it was last year. And it was a nightmare in so many respects. But guys, God gave a lot of grace, and he helped us pull through with a lot of work, and there was a lot of conflict. It was a stressful time, and it was a stressful move. But in the end, we got it done. And we now have a new and improved Games XP. And God's been done some pretty neat things there. We are really building a lot of really great relationships with people. With the extra space that we have in both what we call the battle room as well as the basement, we are just seeing a lot of friends. John and his family have been over a lot, helping the store become better and better, more professional looking, just sharper. We're going to be going in this top 10 list. A lot of the exciting things that God did, he did because of this missional business, this outreach that we have because we have this business. You know, I know it's personally mine, but really it's a group effort. It's a church effort. And so it has been very exciting. Remember that, Wayne? That was your birthday party. Yeah, you, Wayne. Yeah, that was a blast of a birthday party, I tell you. Christened it well. And so more about that to come.
Yeah, and along that line, as far as our outreach, Olivia was one of our first, I think our first salvation of the year. She attended a noon study and got to know us a little bit. And then I think Trudy went through the DVD, the outreach DVD, and Olivia prayed to receive Christ. Olivia, you have been a tremendous joy
Amen.
To us.
Amen.
Well,
right.
Amen. What a worker. I remember being at the fair the day the church left the building. Olivia was there working very hard. Yeah, that's right. We were both under the grandstands, weren't we? Yeah. Yeah, and then there was another salvation right in the store. It was Donovan Nelson later on in the year. So God continues to use it.
Yeah. Donovan would be here, but they scheduled him to work at
what?
Mabe's this morning. Says it looks like that'll be the only time. I go, yeah, of all the times, it's this Sunday. But he knows that we're talking about him. I trust his ears are ringing right now. But there's a couple pictures of the kid. And so yeah, that was exciting. Okay. And I believe he got saved when we were passing out flyers for Brad's dad, who was running for city council. So came back from that. And you were a part of that too, Joe. Pretty exciting. Okay. That was number four. Yep. Number five. We attempted to saturate Iowa, if you remember that phrase, saturate Iowa with the gospel, by dropping off bags of gospel information to homes in the upper northeast Iowa area, specifically Decorah. We worked with the Christian Life Center. Guys, remember that? You know, we really tried hard. We got Decorah done, which is nothing, it's not a small task. It's about 8,000 folks, if you get generous, there in the Decorah city proper. And we delivered, at least attempted, some people rejected them, but these bags of tracts to each and every home we went to. And that's a big deal. We were also assigned some of the surrounding areas. We didn't get that all done. But let's face it, we wouldn't have gotten anything done had we not chosen to participate in this Saturate Iowa effort and do our part in Northeast Iowa. So I think we can all give ourselves an applause for that one. Yeah. It's good. It's a good work. It's a hard work. And we'll never know the fruit of it all until we step into eternity. But it is a good thing.
Yeah. And we continue our involvement in Edventure. See that shirt that man's wearing there?
Ew,
that's an
right
Edge
there.
Venture shirt. Attaboy, Jay. Stand up, Jay.
Come
Let's
on,
see your
Jay,
shirt.
Let's see it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you can stay there, but we just want to see your shirt. There you go. Edventure. Very good. We attended, many of us attended. A key one this year was Jeff. We took him kicking and screaming. He was kind of reluctant to be there, and God did a work in this man's life. He wants to go again. In fact, he's signed up for May 11th. He'll be there. So praise the Lord for that. And then Donovan got baptized there. I think we had that photo up there before as well. This continues to be useful for men. Sometimes when they go the second and third and fourth times, Ant's been there more than once, and Jay has, and Peter has, and Colin has. So God continues to use that.
Man, it's really a neat little anecdote. I wish Jeff was here. Not sure what's keeping him away, but his goal for 2020 is to go to Edge both times this year. That's what he wants to do. Like, what's your New Year's resolution, Jeff? It's to go to Edge both times. So it's really getting a hold of his life. God is getting a hold of his life, which is cool. Okay, number seven. Number seven is many people believe that our fair booth, as well as the Nordic Fest parade float, were the best we've ever done. Par excellence. It was excellent. It was amazing. The presentation of both were big. They were beautiful. They were memorable. And our fair booth was fantastic. thanks in large part to Trudy and Thelma and their hard work. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Joe even had the honor of leading a young lady to Christ during the fair. And really, we had the highest participation from our church ever in the garbage detail. You were thinking I was going to say the fair booth, but no, the garbage detail. You know, the thing that nobody wants to do. You know, the church has left the building. Well, oftentimes I think the church just stayed in bed. You know, we're out there, it's like, sheesh. But no, this last year, a lot of people turned out to help with this final day of the fair cleanup, which is a long, hard day. We worked hard. And I tell you, God will see to it that you are amply rewarded. And so it was a good work, hard work, and it really was a beautiful thing. What happened at the fair this year was really good.
What's it?
What was that again? Oh, yeah. We did have an injury, yeah. Didn't we? We did have an injury.
And then, I have a question for you. Who had the biggest float in Nordic Fest? Huh. Oh,
know,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's
Look
right.
At this.
That's
Look
right.
Look around. We're like the smallest church in Decorah.
Yeah.
But not when it comes to the Nordic Fest parade.
Yeah. You know what? That first ark was saved through the flood. Instead, we flooded Decorah again with literature. We threw out a lot of gospel literature again in the parade float. And it was, yeah.
Yoda was saved.
Yeah. And that thing was so big that it almost took Tim's brakes out on his truck getting it here. But it was, again, we regard these to be a display of God in this community. I think it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what's really neat about the Nordic Fest parade, guys, is that it's not just people from Decorah that go to that. I mean, it is known really throughout the world, especially in Norway and Scandinavian countries. But we really do see people from all over the United States and even the world come to that. And that is an opportunity for us to share the gospel, to spread the gospel. And all those tracks, they went out. And God knows to what extent people that received them, what they did with them, but that's their call. Our job was to be a light and a salt to the earth. And we did that. So it was a cool thing. So that was number 8. Number 9, Rex got married. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, that's a little self-serving, but hey, guys, many of us think that this was a miracle. And He did. He got married, and it was a fun event. It was a powerful time, and so we're very excited about Rex's new bride there, and Jackie's been down a few times. And so that is, I mean, it's a shared experience, guys. We're a church family. What happens to one part of the body happens to all the parts of the body, and so, you know, you all can take joy in Rex's marriage there. So yeah, that was a big thing.
It was. Number 10 is Devin's salvation.
Yay!
That was November 19th, and Devin also went to Fusion with us, which brings us up to where we're at here in 2020. The Fusion, the whole Fusion conference, by the way, it's in the plans, in the works for next year. We're plans are being made, I'm saying, for the same thing next year. This has been traditionally, conferences have always been our ticket to great growth. Just some time away to focus on the Word. But this year in particular, here's something that was really stirring about it. Somebody mentioned already that half of our crowd went. And this kind of went this way. Tim and I started thinking about Joe and Thelma. And they have been faithfully contributing to Lifehouse for quite a while, significantly. And our hearts was, It is not in us to just want money from people. It is the farthest thing from our desire. We talk about it every time we do an offering. This is for your benefit to contribute. And so he started to think about Joe and Thelma. You know what? They have given this. We could help them out. We could see to it that they'd be able to make it to Fusion. We knew they wanted to go. And so he made it happen. And that started the wheels turning, if we could maybe help others and encourage others to go. And so we kept at it. And the rest is history, I guess. 24 people went. 3 others were sick. And they may be sick this morning again. I don't see them here. But that's about 60-some percent of the church. There aren't any other churches in our association that had that percentage of people. We're not in a game here. We're not in a competition.
We won.
But but here is an important thing to consider. If you single folks in particular would set aside, put it in a bag, put it under your mattress, put it in a safe, whatever you do, $20 a month. If you were able to set aside $20 a month, you would probably have more than enough for your lodging, for the registration, for food and for gas, and maybe a little extra even. That sounds kind of doable. In America, we fritter that much. We just goof off with that much. So this would be a good idea to get ready. You know, in the fall, we've been talking about maybe having a series of just what our culture was like when we got saved back in Ames. And I'm telling you, conferences were a big deal. This was a really big deal. We had numerous big conferences per year. And I think we made all of them. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, that was our thought always. Why wouldn't you? So we are set for this direction for next year. Please plan on it. The teaching is great. The accommodations are great. The water park is great. Can I hear a hoot?
Woot!
I thought so. Some really enjoyed that. I will sometime. I just didn't make it this year. Anyway, that's where we're at.
Okay. And so, guys, we're now at the where we're at section. Where we're at, guys, we started 2020 with Fusion. So you'll be hearing about this again at the next State of the Church address. But I really hope, and I'm praying, that at the next State of the Church address, we'll be able to talk about how this girl right here, Heidi Lake, got saved. That is something I'm praying for. So you can be praying for Heidi that she would come to faith in Christ. So remember that. Save up $20 a month and you too can go to Fusion. All right. So how would I summarize what happened? I would say Lifehouse Church saw 4 salvations, 3 of which who are with us today. That's pretty good. Along with that, we saw several couples join up with us. Audrey and her husband, we're going to count them because 2 are 1. So Audrey's here representing the union. That's right. Adam and Carrie from Cresco, they didn't make it, but they are definitely a part of what God's got going on here. Ben and Becca were a part this last year, but he got a job in Mason City. So he's moved back to Mason City and is filling the spot that James left at the same church.
Yeah.
He's going to the same church. Yeah. It's great. And we're about to bring up James because God's also brought a few singles with us. Jennifer, I was hoping Jennifer was here. Wanted to honor her for that. But James is here.
He is back.
He's back. You know, that's pretty cool. So God's added some people to our family here this past year. Some have returned to our family. There's Kelly. We're so thankful to have Kelly back. There she is. Praise the Lord that the Lord led you to reconnect with this family. Some did move on, like Julie Beckman. She's moved on, more of involved with CLC, I believe. And then some are coming around again. We got Brad is more actively involved now that he's got Sundays open. Nina is here with us now that Devin's gotten saved. and then, did I mention that James is back? I think I did mention that. Okay, yeah, I just thought.
Say it again.
I just wanted to say it again, guys. That's James good. Is back.
Yeah, wow.
Woo! And so a solid count of consistent committed members of Lifehouse Church has us at 43, if you're ever wondering how many people are a part of our church. A solid consistent count would give us 43. One could easily get us up to 50 or more, but I got us 43 of really locked in. And so a big thing to note in everything that we've been sharing here is that, guys, our church is growing. And God is on the move. There's some neat things happening here. And I think we can believe God for greater things still in 2020. And so that gets us to where are we going with this emerging group of believers? And it's still my part, isn't it? Okay, so where we're going. We started the year with Fusion. Got that? It's a good start. In fact, before we went to Fusion, thinking about 2020, I began to initiate with Bob and Luke, and I was telling them that we need to have a BHAG. Yeah, that's what they said as well. They thought that they needed to look up a good choice verses and reprove me. But BHAG is an acronym. It's something that they use in the business circles, and the BHAG stands for Big, Hairy, Audacious Goal. That is what a BHAG is, all right? And so businesses, they do it when they're going to boldly break into a new market or when they're going to go global with their business, then they have a BHAG, okay? You can read about it in, like, you know, entrepreneurial books. Well, what about the church? Does our church have a BHAG? Again, a big, hairy, audacious goal. Not saying you should be a hag. I'm just saying, what would it be? So, when I'm initiated with these guys about BHAG and explained what it meant, then we began to dream. And of course, one of the first things we've been dreaming about for a long time is to have a permanent place of our own permanent church building. We thought about that. I have also thought about having a church-wide mission trip. I just thought, you know, if we could get most of us to Fusion, maybe we could get most of, or all of us, to some mission trip. And something I've really been wanting to do since it became an issue, is go to the Mexican-American border and serve the people there. Now, of course, I don't condone illegal activity, but once they're here, they're human beings, and we need to love on them and help them. They're in a difficult, stressful time of their lives. You can only imagine what it would be like to be displaced like that. So I would like to be able to do that. I even threw that out as an offering in a letter I wrote to the paper, seeing if maybe I could get a mix of some of the far-left liberals with us, see what would happen, but none of them were interested. Yeah. So, but I'm still interested. We'll see. It was a BHAG, you know. Another is to build and operate a homeless shelter. Another thing, we've noticed that this place seems to be a weird city where it's just very more liberally minded than the rest of the area around it. You would think that if they really care about the downtrodden and the poor, that there would be a magnificent homeless shelter here. There is none. We've been here for 10 years. There's still none. And so we recognized that early on because all of these homeless, needy people were coming to our little church for help. And we want to help them. And so it's always been a BHAG of mine, of ours, to have a homeless shelter. So that's still out there. Well, at Fusion, God spoke to me through Tom Short, one of his messages. He did a message called Accomplishing the Vision by Being a Disciple. And in this message, Tom said this: life looks different if you plan to be involved in something versus plan to accomplish something. And so I began to ask myself, well, what do I want to accomplish? You know, let's just get that word in there. What do I want to accomplish with my life? with my family, with our church in 2020. Not just overall, you know, which is out there, but just this year. What do I want to accomplish? That question is haunting me still. And we will talk more about that after I turn it over to Bob.
So I went to a seminar at Fusion by Brian Mossman. And I think the title was Joy That Wins. And if you know Brian, he's this big teddy bear guy, usually wears quite a smile. And I expected that he would be sharing with us, you know, how that has affected his interactions with people and how many people he's led to the Lord. I expected to find a lot of stories about how he led people to the Lord just because he's joyful, and that was totally not what he had to share. Rather, everything that he shared was from John chapter 15. And I got home from the conference, and I had already completed my reading for the entire year. You know, I read through the Bible in the year, and I had some days left. I guess this was after the first already. Anyway, when I got home from the conference, I started meditating on John 15. And the verse that Brian had focused on is verse 11, where Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." This is our Savior, the night he was betrayed, arrested, and he knew that he'd be dead the next day. What joy! What joy! What are you talking about? And that's an important question, because he was not kidding. He meant it. He had joy. So what was the joy? Well, here's what he said. He started out by telling them, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away." Or another reading is, he lifts it up. It might be in the dirt, and he lifts it up. "Every branch in me that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit." Then he says, "You disciples, you're already clean because of the word that I've spoken to you." And so what do you mean? To clean, he meant, I've already snipped some of those useless appendages off of your lives, so that your focus now is on the things that really matter. He told them, "Abide in me. As the branch cannot produce fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine," he said. "You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing." Now, there are things that we can do, but we can't produce fruit apart from him. You can't improve upon his program for your life. Then he said, if anyone who doesn't bear fruit, they are thrown away as a branch, and they dry up, and they gather them, and they throw them in the fire, and they are burned. I think that's referring to a believer who's a hypocrite. He's not learned to abide. And so he says he's a believer, but his life is no different than anybody else. And after a while, the world even starts to say, "I got no place for you." And they discard him. They burn him. In verse 7, he said this, "He who has my words," if "my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." And then Jesus said, I've loved you just like my Father has loved you. And if you obey my commands, you will abide in my love. And then he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you." In other words, the joy that Jesus is inviting us into is that joy of being involved with him in his eternal fruit-bearing work. That is where joy is found. This comes from pursuing the Lord, Josh, in a quiet time. You knew what? I was going to say it. Duh.
Yeah, duh.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't get old for us to mention this again. There is no other way. Brothers and sisters, I want in my life to be part of equipping you for success in the Christian life. And Here's what equipping is like. We were riding home, and Luke had a CD that he wanted us to hear and stuck it in, even though I knew my CD player hadn't worked years past. I couldn't remember what was wrong with it, but it wouldn't play it, and I couldn't get it out. His brand new CD. And I thought, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I made a little paper clip, and I tried to reach in there and pull it out, and that didn't work. So I thought, I am going to have to take this thing out of my car. I took the little cowl cover off of the gear shift lever, and I exposed a couple screws. I took a screw out, and I tried to pull, and that didn't do anything, so I put it back in. So I watched a video, and they said, you have to take those screws out. So I took those screws out, and with great difficulty, I got that cowling off, and there was the radio. I took the radio out, took it apart, took the CD out, and put it all back together. Here is my point. If you own a 2004 Subaru Forester, you have to take those two screws out order to get at the radio. I know this. And what I'm telling you is that I also know, I want to equip you with this. You have to have this in your mind. You must be in the Word regularly so God can speak to you. You will end up being like the branch that's thrown away that the society even despises if you're not real with our Savior. And so you have to read and pray and do and obey, and we will have joy. Tim wrote this thing down. He suggested a verse for us. I like this. He didn't know I had been meditating on John 15 for a week, but... But verse 5 is one that we are saying, here's a verse that we could memorize. In my version, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in you, he bears much fruit. And then I think I'm going to get a lunch out of this, because Tim says, if anybody quotes John 15, 1 to 17, we're going to take them out for supper. And I'm already up to verse 13, so. Right? Great.
I was thinking that Kristen would memorize that.
Oh, yeah.
I could take her out.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
That is a serious offer, guys. If anybody memorizes the entire section, that first half of John 15, verses 1 through 17, we will take you out to dinner to the restaurant of your choice. That's what we're going to do. What was that? Okay. Olive, is there one in town? We would like it to be in town. We would like it to be in town. I know you guys are saying, okay, what's the BHAG? In case you missed it, Bob already shared it. It was to have a quiet time every day.
That's a big deal.
I know what you're thinking. And I got up early for this. How anticlimactic. I know. I mean, I have a similar persuasion. I would much rather, like, you know, get a new building or take a mission trip to Hawaii. Yes, they do. But I'm going to go with Bob on this one, because I have this verse that speaks to me frequently. It's a 3:16 verse. And you're thinking, oh, yeah, John 3:16. I know that one. Yeah. No, I'm talking Philippians 3:16. Philippians 3:16 says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. That's what the verse says. Let us live up to what we've already attained. Well, guys, if we already know, if you have attained the knowledge that you're supposed to read the Bible, like, regularly, every day preferred, but at least on a consistent basis, and you're not, then you haven't attained it. And God's saying, hey, live up to that. So guess what? If you have never consistently read the Bible, daily preferred, then that is a BHAG for you. Would it not be a big, hairy, audacious goal for you to say, I'm going to read the Bible every day, would it not? Would it not? How about praying for more than a minute every day? You know, sometimes I find myself, I'm getting in my prayer time as I drive from my house to the store. Yep, got my prayer time in. Good Christian. How about expanding that a little bit and praying longer and praying more frequently for you all? How about I do that? For me, that would be a BHAG. For me to say, I am going to pray for more than a minute every day. I'm going to pray specifically even for you guys. How about that for a BHAG? Or how about this? I was challenged at the pastor's conference in 2019 to take a Sabbath. I said, I'll consider it. Well, how about I actually honor God's word and take a Sabbath day off for a change? I'm looking at Thursdays. How about I stop looking and start doing? For me, to take a Sabbath day rest, to take a day off, that would be a BHAG. It would be a big one. He's like, come on, I'd love to have a day off. Dude, it's just hard for me to stop and be still. It just is. But that would be a BHAG. How about me not saying, well, if I had my testimony tracts printed out, I would give you one, but I don't have it printed out. How often can I use that excuse to not share my testimony with somebody? How about I just print out my testimony tract? How about I be praying for the people at the store and have the gospel on my lips, ready to bring up spiritual things because the opportunities are everywhere at the game store. And I watch them go right on by. Happened even last Friday. I thought about it after the fact. It happens to you after the fact. But basically, I'm playing FNM, Friday Night Magic, with a guy. We get done with our game, and I go up there, and I start to talk to Natalie about store stuff. Okay, we start talking about store business and yada, yada, yada. And all the while, the guy that I just beat, I beat him pretty bad. He is sitting there doing nothing, waiting for the other players to finish, and he's there doing nothing. But, oh, it was so important for me to talk to Natalie about those Amazon orders. No, it wasn't. How about I just stay there and seize this opportunity to talk to a guy whose last name is Price, as in Vincent Price, one of the guys that I really like. Name was David Price, but no, I watched the opportunity go right on by. How about I make that a BHAG for me? To seize those opportunities that happen all the time at the store, and I always justify not taking hold of them because I'm so busy with store stuff. That's rarely an interference. So, how about that? How about there might be a couple of big things in my world? One is the Teen Territory Church. We're thinking about, well, we actually have, just changed the name to Ohana Church. It was a name that Savannah brought up early in our experimental phase in January and February. We toyed with the idea but settled on Teen Territory. Well, now we feel like we'd like to branch out to letting the older folks feel comfortable coming. So we're going to call it Ohana Church. Who can tell me what Ohana stands for, means? Yeah. All you guys who have watched what, some Stitch? Oh, yeah, Lilo and Stitch. Lilo and Stitch. Ohana means family. Ohana means family. It's family church. That's what it means, and that's really at the heart, the core of our church, is we really want to build a family of believers that's so authentic, so real, it's like a taste of heaven on earth. So we want, like, good luck with that, but we're going to shoot for that. That is our BHAG. So I really would like to see the church in Cresco grow and begin to attract and hold on to some of the older folks, as well as the last thing that is on my heart and mind, and I'm wrestling with the Lord on this one, is to spearhead starting a women's edge venture. Yeah, I just see the need. It's great. It's like a mountain. And I was like, oh, I'm not so sure I can handle this. It would be a BHAG, but I feel like the need is great. The opportunity is there. So I am wrestling over the idea of starting a Women's Edge. There you go. I got a little bit of support here. The clock is ticking.
Yes.
So, Bob, how would you want to wrap this up?
Yeah, how do I want to wrap this up? Well, I have 13 goals. I counted them. But let me just say this. Right now, in Lifehouse, we have 11 young men, teens and 20s. In Jesus' day, that was enough to reach the world. And a disciple is a disciple. It doesn't matter if you're with Jesus or if you are in this time. And all that is between our young men, and I realize we're a whole church, but I think about these young men quite a bit. I work with one frequently. And there's always potential. I think Jesus, isn't this amazing? He spent a whole night in prayer before he selected his men. You'd think the Son of God could be a little more efficient than that. It wasn't about efficiency. It was about heart. And all that we've been talking about, and including making disciples, the verse I didn't quote yet from John 15, I cut it off two verses short. Well, I'll do the last two. He said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And in our workplaces, Aunt and I work together, but the purpose for my job is just a template to learn to love people. God could provide for any of us. Making disciples is about learning to love people. And learning to love people will not come other than by abiding in Christ. And we have we give that word a bum rap, abide. We think, oh yeah, I'm all for that. Just relax, kick back, abide. In the context, Jesus is definitely referring to stay in touch, pray, and obey. Intensively. Patty called Sarah yesterday. Sarah Hibbing down in Tennessee. Just as they were going out for a date, they are pursuing the ongoing of their relationship. If these 11 men, and if all of us, become disciples, there is no reason that we would not be 80 in a year. Just, it happens. Multiplication happens when we are abiding and skillful. That's what we're talking about, equipping us to be skillful in both abiding and in outreach. So, we're in an exciting place. Along for the ride with what Jesus does in us and through us. Shall we pray?
I think we shall.
Father, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. You will build this church. You will build your church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You can make disciples. You've done it before. Your eyes are moving to and fro throughout the whole earth, just looking for somebody whose heart is completely yours, and then you can do it. To the best of our knowledge, we give you our hearts today. And we ask you to challenge us all the way that we may be pruned all the way to bear more fruit. Pray you'd be glorified in us. In Jesus' name, amen.